Greet you all in Christ's name this morning. Thank you all for coming to worship with us. Special welcome to our visitors. Thank you for coming. As Ed mentioned, it's been good service so far. Thank you, Brother Tony, for sharing that devotional with us. Also, thank you, Chris, for that meaningful Bible study. It's a good introduction to what I had prepared for a message this morning as well. Ed forgot to mention that the newest birthday in the congregation, little Finley. Congratulations on that. And as you add another little bundle to your home there. So it is Mother's Day today, and I'd like to look at some scriptures and some hopefully encouragement to the moms here. And I don't know what we would do without mother figures in our lives. They do a lot for us. It's a lot of things I think maybe especially us guys would tend to take for granted that our moms do for us. I know when I first got my job away from home and I kind of moved out and packed all my clothes, I found out within the first work week the limitations of my batch of clothes. It's ran out fairly quickly, and so it was a open your suitcase and is items are dwindling and getting fewer. And well, I thought that was okay. Walmart wasn't too far away. We worked in Slave Lake here, and so we made a few trips there. And I think, I don't know, it wasn't very long into my working in the Bush program. I think I had somewhere in the neck of probably around 30 pairs of jeans and about as many shirts and everything else. But that laundry pile just doesn't get any smaller if you don't make trips to the laundromat. So we know that after a bag of dirty laundry is at least as big or quite a bit bigger than the bag of clean clothes. And so my big hockey bags I would be toting them into the laundromat, or if I was going home for that weekend or whatever happened, I would have to have a fairly large laundry to do. And that's just one of the things. The food program didn't always work out so well either. This, you know, Ed and I batched for quite a few years, and yeah, the fast food gets old, and then it's trips to the grocery stores and not sure what to make after a day's work. And yeah, I think most of us probably know what that's like. And so those are some of the little things that I noticed really quickly that my mom did for me while I was still living at home. And probably largely underappreciated, because they were just taken for granted. This just stuff just happened. There was clean clothes and underwear and socks folded in the drawers, and yeah, well, that's just the way it was, right? Abraham Lincoln said one of the greatest lessons I have ever learned were at my mother's knees, and all that I hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. He lost his mother at a pretty young age, I think at age 10 or 11, perhaps. I forget now. I did read it. I forget what age it was, but he did lose his mother at a fairly young age. But obviously, his mom took the time to teach them as young children. Proverbs 31. I know this is, you know, maybe we think, oh, this is, here comes the ideals, but I'd like to read some of them anyhow. Proverbs has a nice way of encouraging and talking about this. Verse 24 starts out, you see, maketh fine linen and selleth it, delivereth girdles to the merchants, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also. And he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. It's beautiful, beautiful. So the next passage I want to look at is Titus, and we looked at that in our Sunday school lesson. I was kind of surprised I hadn't looked at our Sunday school lessons while I was studying, and here we actually talked about a fair bit of that throughout our Sunday school lesson. I'd like to turn to it anyhow, Titus chapter 2. And in verses 1 through 5, we read that. I'll read it again. But speak thou the things which are become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity, in patience, the aged men, women likewise, that they be in favor as it becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That's some good, solid advice. The writer here understands what structure is and what structure means in the home. And being that the lady is often the primary caregiver of the children, this falls on her shoulders for a large part, just because of how that's just the way things are. And to have a structured home and a beautiful, loving home is so important, because, and I think it was mentioned in Sunday school again, if we don't have structured, sound homes, that's what the true future of the church is going to hold. And God wants a structured, sound, orderly church that can move forward with reason and with purpose and with zeal to move his work forward, and the functionality thereof is a direct impact from the home, and it carries forward to the next generation. God calls us to be self-disciplined, to be structured, and so that the next generation is going to bring forth the qualities and the ability to build church and to build what God wants us to build. But now, that's all real easily said. It's very easily read and talked about. And we have these big ideals. We can talk about structuring homes, being organized, taking notes, having boards, having planners, and all that stuff. And that's all really, really good. That's all really good. But there's just so many variables in our lives, isn't there? And I think probably the ladies feel it more than us men, maybe sometimes. We can be ever so scheduled. We can be ever so planned. We can have meals in order. We can have jobs for the children to do. We can have all these things so well written up and planned out. But there's so many variables that we don't expect. Things, the curveballs that life throws at us, can be very, very real. For instance, ladies don't always plan for that baby to keep them up all night so that the next day is absolutely obliterated and blown up. They don't always expect for children to get sick and that schedule or that thing that was planned or the church function that was going on that they needed to perform for. It's just not coming together because of sick children. Maybe they get sick themselves. Maybe that's what's keeping you from doing the things that you would long to do or you need to do. You don't plan for your husband to get home late from work and everything's not working out for the evening that was planned for you to do or you had scheduled out. Or maybe it's that dishwasher that's breaking down or that washer and dryer set that's just not performing and your laundry's not working out. And so these are the real, real things of everyday life. And that's just a few of them that keep people from being the perfect person that we would desire to be with all the structuring and planning that's available or that we could be doing. So I'd like to look at some scriptures some encouraging scriptures that are in the Bible that talks about these kind of things and how we can be okay with stuff like that, and still feel fulfilled in this unique calling. I'd like to look at Mark chapter 6 a little bit. Verse 30. So we have it's breaking into a passage here, and it says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all the things both that they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." And I was like, you know, you look at that, and you look at how Christ responded to them. They were telling him what all they had done. They'd had, from what it looks like, there had been lots of people. They had been really busy. There was lots of people that they were ministering to. There were people that were asking questions, and they were just busy. And they come back to Jesus and giving a report of what all they had and were doing. And he says to them, he obviously looked in their face, and he read something. And he said, it's time to rest. Come, let's go into a place. Let's separate ourselves from all the busyness that you've just been facing, all the stuff that you've been doing. And you need to come apart and rest a little bit. It says, at the end, it says, and they had, coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. They had missed meals. They had missed meals. It had been so busy with people. And I'm sure that is probably all too common in a lot of our days and weeks, and probably especially the mothers as they're taking care of children and all the things, the demands, the things that just need to be done all the time. They're just always there. You're at home, and these things just, there's always these things staring you in the face that need to be done. And I was just amazed at how Jesus approached that. You know, he could have said that, you know what, there's just so much more to do. You guys just need to toughen up a little bit. Suck it up. We've got stuff to do. There's more people that need help. Do you see all these things that need to be done? And that was not at all his approach to the situation. He could tell that these men had worked hard. They were going to burn out, and they needed to just relax a bit. They needed to just remove themselves and take some quiet time. The others around you might not always understand that you need this quiet time, but it is so important that we do this and take this advice. Galatians 6, I'm going to look at that a little bit. Verses 9 and 10 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. For we have therefore opportunity, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith." You know, let's face it, raising children, doing the daily things, it's grueling. It's every day. It's just there all. And it's taxing. It's wearying. And if we don't take that little bit of rest that we talked about earlier, we're gonna start being weary. And weary leads to apathy. Apathy is a lack of enthusiasm. Apathy is a lack of interest. We might have these days and times where everything is just too much, and it's just time to just, you just feel like you're just burning out, and so the whole world seems drab. You feel underappreciated. It's just been too taxing. The return on investment just doesn't look like it's there for that day, or maybe that week, or maybe it's even that month. Everything's just been really big. And so frustration starts setting in, because there's just so much going on. And so it talks about taking a rest, and then it talks about just not being weary and well doing. And what I'm gathering from that is it's something that's day after day and day in and day out, and it's always and always there, and we don't always see the fruits of our labors in as we're raising children and as we're training them. The fruits just don't seem to be visible. There's so many things going on. You're so busy trying to keep everything in order. You're raising children, and it doesn't seem like the influence and the effect are really, really getting through. And through my studies, I came across this story, and you've probably all heard of her, maybe not. Her name was Susanna Wesley, and she was a mother in the late 1600s, early 1700s, and she was the wife of a pastor in a small church in England. She was the youngest of 25 children, and absolutely no stranger to hardship. Things were really, really difficult back in those days, and so she was the youngest of a large family. She got married to Samuel Wesley, who was a pastor at a small church. Didn't necessarily always have a super happy marriage. She was the mother of 19 children. She had 19 children, and things were so difficult, and things had been so adverse for her, that she actually only raised 10 of those 19 children to maturity. So she had extremely difficult times. She went through a couple of house fires, and through the whole time in Great Britain when the state was running the church, and there was political upheaval and church upheaval, and there was a lot of riots and opposition to opposing view in the churches, the way it was structured with state and church. And so it was a time of a lot of turmoil. But yet, out of that home, out of her diligent teaching, she was said and different of the writings that I read, she was a very, very devout Christian. She made sure that her children had specific times set aside so that she could one-on-one train her children and talk to them and teach them. And she wanted them to grow up in a as good of a structured and Christian home as she possibly was able to give them the opportunity to do so. And two of her younger children would have been John Wesley and Charles Wesley. And little did she know, as she was raising these children and just mothering them, that out of her, from what she looked at, was almost a bit of a wreck. It was a wreck, according to how she felt a lot of the time. We're coming two men that were going to reform Christianity, basically, so to speak, in Great Britain and Ireland. Two men that were by their mom's steady, solid teaching and by her devout adoration and her devotion to Christ. Out of that home came two men that were so unbelievably effective in spreading the gospel in Great Britain at the time. John was known to be a super solid teacher. He taught Christian discipleship. He ended up being a part of the movement, ordaining people as he went and setting up churches to follow the true scripture and to teach good solid discipleship and the Christian way. Charles was a well-known songwriter, and I think I forget which ones they were, I didn't write them down, but there's numerous of his songs, I think, in our songbooks. He wrote songs and along with John helped work in churches and build churches and build relationships so that they could spread their faith and just the solidity of the New Testament and teach discipleship. So the children in our homes are growing up and right now we might not see the effects of what we're teaching. We don't know what they're gathering, but it's up to us to make sure that they are getting solid, sound doctrinal teaching. They're being nurtured, they're being taught, they're being trained one-on-one time, and giving them the opportunity to do great things for God. Statistics show that a lot of children are trying to compete with screen time today. And that's sad, because that is essentially the things that are teaching children. John, 3 John 1 verse 4 says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth." And in today's society, there's so many forces vying for our children's attention. There's so many things looking to absorb our children, their hearts, their minds, their souls. And as we as parents, and again, the mothers being the primary caregivers of the small children, at least, these seeds that we plant in our children's hearts and nurture them and help them to grow in care, with care and love and attention, that's what's going to make the churches go forth and be effective and do Christ's work. I'd like to look at Matthew 25. 25, verse 21. Nope, that's not right. Actually, it may be. Yeah, it is. Just in the wrong chapter there. 25, verse 21 says, "And the Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." I just think that's beautiful, and I think that's something that we all strive for, even though there's probably lots of days when our work feels undervalued, maybe underappreciated. But we're raising souls, and that's motherhood. Not solely motherhood. That's the family. That's the family structure. And I just really, really, I took that verse and I was like, you know, when our children grow up, is that the response that we will get when we meet God, that He'll say that we did a good job in the home? So in closing, stay close to God. Always make time for devotionals. Keep life beautiful. There's a lot of good, solid advice in Scripture, how to go about things and the things that we need to train. But we have to remember that life is real, and we have to remember that we look at things from that perspective and not overstress ourselves. Making sure we have time for God, making sure we have time for rest. And to the husbands, be sure to give the lady of your lives due love and respect. Lighten her load where you can. Do what we can to help them out when things are stressful and hard. Date her, love her, cherish her, even as life rolls on and all the cares of life load us down. Make sure we take time for these things. And take her out of the house so she can rest a while away from her work that's always, always there. Just make sure that we do our part in doing that. And just God bless everyone as they take part in God's ordained order, as however your family is structured, and making beautiful homes, raising strong children that can be sent out into the world at a later time to be home builders, church builders, or whatever God has in store for them. I'd like to wish every mother and my own mother a happy and blessed Mother's Day.